Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, June the 17th, 2015. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Well, thank you, dear heart. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. We're honored. It's a privilege to get to share this space with you every day and to look into this awesome ancient technology that is called forgiveness. And we have the opportunity, if we so choose, to engage in the forgiveness process, to come to the point in our world where we can function relatively free and moving more and more free from all forms of hostility or fear. And as we do that, the change that happens in our physiology, in our minds, in our emotions, in our relationships, in our finances are absolutely monumental. The journey there, however, is not always Dr. Feelgood. You know, we tend, when we're in upset, to fill our minds with information about other people rather than be able to look at what it is that we need to deal with. That process is called denial, and the way that it happens is if I'm in pain or I'm in turmoil, you know, there's some interesting Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, the max amount of data available on a conscious level is 9 bits. Very tiny fragment. And so if I am in some sort of turmoil or pain or aberrant behavior, and what I do is I talk about you and what you've done, I miss my opportunity to heal. And when I can drop that conversation and start to own, if I'm in turmoil or pain, if I'm doing some form of aberrant behavior that I have work to do, my doing my work, although the resistance is huge for most people, my doing my work is what frees me of my pain. And we live in a culture that teaches us that it's all everybody else's fault. And so if I fill my 9-bit mind with words and thoughts about you, then I can hide the part of me that I need to heal. And so many people run around, oh, I want to heal. I want to get free of that pain. I want to get free of that trauma. I want to get done with that. But when the opportunity comes to do it, what they do is fill their minds with information and conversations about everybody else. Oh, look what you did. Look what's wrong with you. Well, you made me mad. You made me sad. And by so doing, what we do is we literally dissociate from or hide the parts of our mind that we most need to heal. So our work together is that of understanding that, and you know, we've developed a tool for determining in this work whether something that you're feeling is yours or not. And the tool is pretty complex and difficult to apply, but it goes like this. How do I tell whether what I'm feeling is mine or not? Am I feeling it? Once I realize that if I'm feeling it, it belongs to me, the hidden part of my mind, that is destroying my physiology, destroying my emotions, destroying my thought processes. And all of those things begin to heal as I move into responsibility. Now, the challenge for that is that whatever it is that's disturbing my physiology or creating my diseases or my pain, whatever it is that's disturbing my mind, creating my emotional upset, my emotional turmoil, whatever it is that's clouding my thinking and keeping me focused on everybody else, is an energy that I'm going to have to go back through and remove. And the removal of what never belonged inside of us in the ancient Aramaic was called forgiveness. It has nothing whatsoever to do with me letting you off the hook because of what's happening inside of me. Forgiveness is the act of going inside myself and removing what never belonged. And as I do that, I get to experience those energies on three different levels: the physical, the mental, and the emotional. And on a physical level, healing looks like any kind of physical symptom you've ever had and low energy. On a mental level, healing looks like any kind of negative thought you've ever had and confusion. On an emotional level, healing looks like any kind of negative feeling you've ever had and depression. That's what the healing process looks like. The healing process is just the reversal of the flow of energy that's been hidden in the system to move it out of the system. And on the way into the system, when there was disease and disorder created, there were symptoms. And our culture taught us to think and speak about somebody else and to drug ourselves. And when we do, then we hide the part of our minds that we need to heal, and we end up getting stuck in this place of everybody else is the problem in my life. And when I wake up to the truth, then I get to change the game. So we're here to support people in changing the game. And so that's the process. That's what we're looking to do. And so I'm a little distracted. Jim just got in the car. We're in the big city of Theodosia. We had a problem with air conditioner, and so we we're just picking up the van. Took it in to get some work done on the air conditioner. Looks like he's got it fixed. Jim just handed me a note, so that's cool. And they're in the process of going to change Jim's oil and ours, and we'll be rock and roll. So all things moving forward, are you willing? The biggest way to move through the energies that get locked in the system that don't belong there is willingness. That's one of the biggest factors. The willingness to own what comes up instead of talk about somebody else becomes the key. And then whatever it is that we haven't been owning, we'll experience the energetic impact of that as it moves back out of the system, which is why most people don't want to stop drugging themselves, and most people don't want to think in terms of responsibility. They want to think in terms of how it's everybody else's fault. And so we're here to support that shift happening. And Jeannie, is there anybody in the chat room with a hand up, or anybody in the phone queue with a question in the chat room and a hand up in the phone queue?
No, it's really quiet on both ends. We do have several people on the switchboard. I think that we had a conversation going yesterday afternoon that we were going to complete today, but they haven't called back in yet. So if someone would press 1, you're first in line.
Awesome. So I think Jim Farmer was going to call in, but seeing as how he's sitting in the car beside me, I won't make him use his phone. I'll just hand him mine. What do you got to share, Jim?
Maybe 25 cents. Well, I guess what I want to share is just a general broad brush statement of endorsement of the work. I started with learning about Michael's work in 1989 through Julie Haverstick, who is the worksheet queen, as many of you know. And I can't tell you how it's affected and helped me and my family members. So anybody that's out there listening that hasn't gotten into the work yet or just on the verge of it, I just encourage you to go forward. It's the old story of try it, you'll like it. You know, that one of the commercial companies out there used to advertise that. Don't remember who it was. Doesn't matter. But pick up the tools and see if they work for you. And that's all I wanted to add. Thank you. God bless.
Awesome. So 646-200-4169 is our call-in number.
We've got a hand up.
Oh, great. Let's say hello.
618, you're on the air.
Good morning. This is Dale.
Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome. How are things in St. Louis?
Hi, guys.
I guess it's actually across the border, but close enough. What's exciting in your work? How can we support you?
I had a huge breakthrough just last night, but before I get into that, I wanted to ask some questions.
Yes.
And the question that I have is that I the ceiling crisis use on Memorial Day, and I had the other Thursday. And I was going through my notes to look at healing crises and to see from the intensive to kind of get an idea, a better idea of what happens. And I was feeling a lot of electricity when that was happening. And one of the things that I read in the notes was what goes in must come out. And
yes.
So I was wondering if you could talk about, you know, why I feel electric opposed to feeling nausea. And that's what I would see other people going through when they were going through healing crisis during the intensive, was a lot of nausea and fatigue, and I was feeling very, like I had been electrocuted. I mean, not in a bad way, in a very spiritual, good way.
Well, my take would be that when you recognize that Einstein was telling us of a truth decades and decades ago when he said this, on such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy. Energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses, there is no matter. So my take would be that you're at the point and you're doing your work at a level where you're experiencing yourself as an energy body rather than a physical body. It's going to feel very much like electricity moving through your system because that's what it is. It's literally a flow of energy. And you know, oftentimes we'll see people who will go into a still point breathing session, and in that session, they'll experience themselves totally and completely as energetic beings rather than physical beings. And so it sounds like your healing process takes the form of, okay, let's move some energy out. And, you know, if there's enough willingness, here's my take. Let's say somebody eats a poison. What will happen when that poison hits the stomach is the stomach will do one of two things. It will either say, I'm going to eject this and throw it out through, vomiting, or it will loosen the bowels, it will flood the intestines with fluid, and it will force it out and release through diarrhea. And so a lot of people, and I think it depends on the level of willingness, a lot of people experience their healing process physiologically such as that. So the toxic energy, if there's something, you know, I didn't deal with 30 years ago and I drugged myself in order not to feel it, then when it starts to move and come up and come out, my body's going to force it to move. Well, if there's sufficient willingness, instead of having to move this solidified energy, as Einstein says, what we've been all wrong, what we've called matter is energy, when that energy starts to move, if there's sufficient willingness, then my take would be that it can literally move from the so-called physically toxic state, the denser energy, right to an energetic level where it simply releases, it simply shifts, and you don't have to go through the physiological detox process. You can actually move it out of the structure as energy. And of course, that's the more preferable route because you don't have the symptoms to deal with in the same way. But that would be my take. Willingness is the key.
Okay, awesome.
And I know you're so willing, so it makes sense that you would get to experience it that way.
Good deal. My next question is I reread the part where it talked about the physical, what happens on physical, and then the mental, emotional, and it talks about depression. And my thing is, I go through this exhilaration, or have gone through this exhilaration, that this is happening to me, and I'm moving, and it all feels very exhilarating and scary at the same time. But it's like, this is cool. I must be doing my work because this is happening. And then as soon as it's over, I go into a depression, and I feel crazy, or I experience being crazy. And so I wonder is what you have to say about that as well.
That's the part of your mind that you haven't learned sufficient willingness with yet.
Okay.
So. So that would be my take, is that there are levels where there's willingness to be learned. And may be the places where, once you've processed what you're willing enough to process, there's your next level of work. And when you unload a load of energy, you know, hostility, fear, guilt, grief, physiological trauma, old drugs, whatever it is, that load lifted off of the system elevates your vitality level. And at an elevated vitality level, what happens, but the next layer comes up. And so it sounds like as you continue to learn willingness, these levels of depression, which are usually anger turned inward, you will begin to let go of and move through the other side more easily. But it sounds like you're getting to the next level. I know that, and maybe Terry's on the show today. He might share with us a little bit. He called me a couple of days ago and was in a major, major healing process, major stuff up in his face. And then 2 days later, he called me back again, and it's like, well, I got through that one when we processed, Michael. I thought I was finished, and here's another layer of it. And then this morning I talked to him. He said they had an awesome support group last night, and, you know, the layers are just moving. It's part of the process. And you can get some sense of the intensity. When you really stick in and do your work, there's a really cool passage in the book of Job where Job – you know, I mean, he's gone through all the trials and tribulations, every symptom you can imagine. And there's a point where he's really tired of it and like, I've had enough. And you can kind of get a sense of how intense his process was by the intermission that he asked for. And he says, God, just give me time to swallow my saliva. Like, enough already, I've had it. And so, and you look at his was a long-term healing process, and it basically, if you read that whole book, it just details how the process goes. And, yep, it can become very intense. And that's where he says, hey, just give me time to swallow my saliva, and that'll be enough of a rest. And that's kind of how intense the process gets. And
understood.
Willingness is the cosmic grease.
It makes total and complete sense. And now I have a whole different set of questions based on that, on Job, but I will wait for those. My next question that I had is, when I had that that healing crisis on Memorial Day and I had to stop at the hotel, I get a lot of visuals, and I don't know if the past life visuals, generational visuals, but the main focus of healing through this electricity was around my wrists, and I got a lot of flashes of different restraining devices around my wrists, like shackles, rope. Also, I got a flash of being an archer and having those wristbands that they had to protect, the leather wristbands, and then also being a soldier and having metal wristband around the, you know, up the on the wrist and down the forearm. This, and then when I had this last crisis on Thursday, a lot of it was focused around the neck. I had a lot of neck injury, stuff going on with whiplash, but it went even deeper than that to nooses, you know, more shackles, and also Elizabethan dress, you know, those collars that you used to wear. Yeah, so anyway, I was just wondering, is that normal as well to have those kind of flashes and to have that kind of release?
Well, my thought would be to turn that one over to Jeannie.
Okay.
Jeannie, do you want to share a little bit about your experience in that?
I apologize. I was reading in the chat room at the same time.
I understood.
So, that's okay. Pose it to me again.
When you have a healing crisis or in still point, I guess would be another way, either past life or generational flashes while you're releasing the energy, while you're going through.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I had an experience during a breath session one time, and, you know, if you asked me if I believed in past lives, I would say no. But it really felt like me. Now, whether it was a past life or whether it was a generational thing that was up to be healed, doesn't really matter. It was presented to me for me to deal with it. But in the breath session, I was a small Indian child, and I was captured by white men and was being kept in a cage. I had to walk behind a horse with a rope around my neck, and I was used as trade if the white man wanted, say, furs, then he would let them sleep with this child. And so all of the abuse, the mental, emotional, physical abuse. And I came out of that breath session, and there were several things that happened, and it kind of kept going for like 2 weeks. One of the things is that we use hydrogen peroxide sometimes as a mouthwash. And when I used it, I mean, like every one of my teeth just, it just felt like they were all just aching. And I had a flashback to that breath session, and the small child, her teeth were like, you know, rotting and everything. They weren't in good shape. And so it like resonated that that was the pain of the teeth. And then I had my hips and my pelvic muscles and joints, and it's like, and that's actually been a continual thing probably for 5 years that I deal with on and off, that it's just an ache just really deep in the bones. And I can see that that would be where the small child, where her legs would probably be disjointed or whatever in the process of the assaults and processing through that pain and everything. So I've physically experience the things that this child in this breath session was experiencing. So whether that was a past life or a generational thing, I was physically manifesting the pains and the aches from those experiences. And then I could see where in my current life, in past relationships where I would be physically and mentally abused, and it was like that same pattern carried forward into this lifetime. And so, yeah, there was a lot of things that, and it would just keep showing up. It was over a couple of weeks that different things would just pop in and be like, oh. And one of the things about my neck, when I was a small child in this lifetime, my grandmother used to, she lived with us, and she used to say that she thought I had like a goiter or something, that it was like my neck was swollen or fat. And the doctor always just said, you know, there was nothing there. He'd check it a couple of times, you know, and that it was nothing there. But it was like my grandmother could see it. And there are still times when I'm processing something really deep that, and Michael says he actually can see it too, that it's like I have a rope around my neck and under the skin. So, yeah, there's a lot of things like that that have just, you know, shown up in my life. And like I said, whether it was a real past life or whether it was a generational thing, but it's coming back out, and it's my time to just deal with it. And it, and sometimes it gets it really intense, and it's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Understood.
And then you get willing, and you go to the next level. It's big stuff. You know, I remember the night that happened, or the day that happened. You know, we went to bed that evening in the intensive as normal. And when I woke up in the morning, Jeannie was gone. It's like, where are you? And she's got this excruciating pain in her hips. And she's laying on the hardwood floor beside the bed. She's not on the bed. And it was like, here she is. She's right back in the cage, on the floor of the cage, being forced to sleep there. It's like, why are you laying on the floor, sweetie? And then for several days, you know, Jeannie is one of the most, what should I say, fastidious people that I know at being clean. And I don't know, how many showers a day were you taking there for a while? And she'd say, I stink. And, you know, she was getting the smell of what it was like to be in that experience. And, you know, there was no odor coming from her, but she could smell it in her healing process. That's the old energy coming back out. And that's what healing looks like.
Great.
Not
Thank
Dr.
You
Feel Good.
All the validation, that's exactly what I needed to hear.
Yeah. And,
and
the thing to get is, it's safe.
Yes.
It's
yes,
safe
absolutely.
To open and let those things move, and that we're here holding the space.
I remember me sharing that during the Healing the Whole Woman, and that was amazing. That was amazing to get that kind of validation, to get a look at her process, you know, the fact that she's that open during that. So just a plug for your upcoming one that I'm signed up for, by the way.
Awesome. Cool.
Awesome.
Fabulous.
Okay, one last question, and then we'll see if you're
Go
on.
Go for it.
And I did a worksheet. I thought it was going to be just a little one, you know, kind of similar to that guy that did the cowl. I don't have any
tricky,
work
tricky.
To do. Yeah, I did a little worksheet. I had an upcoming electric bill, and I was threatening on, you know, how am I going to pay this? And so I went ahead and did it on the electric bill and got this huge flash of what happened when I was 14 years old at Christmas. And being able to see that definitely puts me into position to understand my relationship with money now. my grandpa, I went to my grandparents for Christmas. My grandpa just bought one of those three-wheelers because this was in the early 80s. And he said, don't go above the second shift or the second gear.
Right.
And for me being me and the need for speed, and I went into the third gear and I had an accident to where I flipped over the handlebars and went flying and landed on some cinder blocks that were in the middle of the field.
Ouch!
Yeah. And I don't know if I lost consciousness or not, but I do know that I had a concussion because later that evening I was thrown up everywhere. And I was so ashamed of disobeying my grandfather and that I didn't ask for any medical help. And so I pushed the three-wheeler back up the hill and got it back to the house before anybody knew I was gone. And after that happened and we got home, I was complaining about my back hurting, and then my mom was really reluctant to take me to the doctor, and then she started taking me to the doctor, and that's when they found out that I had scoliosis. And so I just remember all the conversations of my mom calling my dad first thing in the morning before she went to work, yelling at him to get some sort of insurance or pay more child support in order for me to pay all these doctor bills. And then she started to go after my grandparents for their property insurance because this accident had happened on their property. So a lot of, you know, not being good enough, not worthy of medical care, being ashamed of hurting myself on their property, and then just the, you know, just hurting my grandparents because my mom went after them. So I was just wondering your take on that or what you hear
Well, I would work on a mind shifter. And this mind shifter, I'm going to explain the mind shifter process before I give it to you, because to most people it's going to sound crazy. But
okay.
For everybody who's new to the mind shifter idea, a mind shifter is purposely set up as an energy, as a frequency statement, a set of words that will empower or resonate brain cells that, where there's healing that needs to take place. And the way that you use a mind shifter is that you take a page and you divide it in two. And on the left-hand side of the page, you write the mind shifter, which is the thought I'm going to give you in a minute. And then on the right-hand side, you write everything that comes up in response to it. And the idea is that wherever there is energy that is has been dissociated from, that you want to get that energy resonating strong enough so that you can become conscious and aware of it. And basically, write it out on the page, dump it out on the page so that you can work through it. So that's the idea of a mind shifter. So just from some things you've shared with me previously in the ongoing work over the last several months, I would say that a mind shifter that would probably be really useful for you, you got a pen handy?
I do. I'm ready.
Okay. It's safe and healing for me to hurt people. I take it from your response that did something to your breath.
Yeah.
That got some shifts going in your breath. Yeah, good.
Wow. Good.
And, of course, again, for most people that would sound like, what kind of a crazy idea is that? The idea is to take the file on you hurting people and getting it to come fully to the surface so that you can change the content of that part of your mind. And so as you write that, I'd spend at least 2 hours, make sure your phone is off, that you're totally, completely in your own little cocoon by yourself, and write that for at least 2 hours and just see where that takes you, see what comes up. And I think that's going to open a big space for you. And then, of course, for those, again, who are not experienced with the tool, then once you've done that 2 hours of writing, then what you would do is you'd start looking through what came up on the right-hand side of the page and look for, okay, I've got some cleanup to do here. I've got worksheets to do here. I've got amends to make here. You know, whatever work, additional work you need to do around it once you surface those things. So what comes up as I say that?
Okay. Because your line is complete. So
say again?
I am complete. I don't have any more questions.
Awesome.
And thank you for the direction. And I will continue to listen to the show. So thank you both.
All right. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Blessings. Take care.
Blessings.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
By the way, speaking of a few weeks, starting on July the 11th, we'll be starting with a 10-day food fund forgiveness and work program. That's the economy program at Heartland, and we'll do work projects on the property during the day, and then in the evenings we'll do workshops, and on Saturday we'll do mind shifters and still point breathing. And so that's a 10-day program that starts on July the 11th to July the 20th. And for everything for that program, for the workshops, the workshop materials, and, of course, there are work projects, the total is $750 for everything. And I will be doing some awesome gourmet vegetarian food. We'll be doing some cooked recipes during that particular intensive, some new recipes I think Ari's got ready for us, as well as some fresh and raw food. And then once we complete that on July the 20th, we'll actually take a day off, and then on August 1st, I think there's a bit of an error on the sheet here. I hadn't noticed before. Left to look on the schedule. But August 1st, we'll begin a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that will be July 24th. I was mistaken. They're reading it incorrectly. July 24th to August 1st. We'll do 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And then we'll take a day off, and August the 3rd to the 18th, we'll do a 16-day communication codependence to energy dependence practicum. That'll be a 16-day residential intensive. Then we'll be doing a 3-day personal code evaluation training, working with interpreting and understanding the personal code evaluation for people who are teaching the work or working with others and being able to pinpoint what issues are and give assignments on working through those issues. Then we'll go into a 16-day laws of living, still point breathing intensive, and that'll be August 23rd to September 7th. And then Jeannie will step in and do an 8-day healing the whole woman. That will start on September 12th and go through the 19th. So if you're ready to take your work to the next level, you might want to get in touch and get yourself registered for one or all of those intensives. We've got a total of 68 days. The 58 days of intensives, there are five different modules. So many people will be here for one or the other or two or three or whatever number of workshops they choose to do. And if you choose to register for the 58-day intensive, then the 10-day Food Fund Forgiveness of Work Project comes free. So we'd be delighted if you chose to join us. We'd be honored if you chose to join us. And when a group of people get together to create support for getting into that deep space of healing and opening, you know, the kind of things we've just been speaking of, it's pretty amazing, pretty powerful. And so, Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue? We're down to about 25 minutes, and so we've got time for several good conversations yet.
No, we don't have anybody with a hand up, and chat room is pretty quiet.
Okay. Well, is there anything you'd like to share about the Healing the Whole Woman intensive?
Well, I shared that yesterday, and just... You know, we're going to cover a lot of different issues all around healing, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, that you have to look at the whole being. You have to heal all of it if you really want to heal.
Yay. That's what we'll be up to. So come and join us. It'd be a delight to have you here. And beyond that, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you have a question for us, we would love to hear your question, if there's some way that we can support you. And, you know, sometimes people don't call in because they say, well, you know, my question's so simple. I'm just a beginner. I don't even know what to ask. Actually, sometimes they become some of the most important questions as people share their beginning points, their starting points in the work. And oftentimes that question that comes from beginners, the one that takes the seasoned teacher even back to some of the grassroots things that need to be faced and need to be dealt with. So we'd be delighted to hear your voice. And, you know, if you feel like, oh, gee, I'm on the radio, I'm putting myself out there, fine. And if you feel like, well, my voice might be shaky, you know, people won't hear me, et cetera, we'll just invite you to let go of that and breathe and let yourself share your questions. We'd be honored to hear from you. 646-200-4169. So, Jeannie, what's exciting there? What's happening?
We actually just had a hand go up. So area code 212, you're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jeannie. It's Camille.
Oh, hey there, young lady. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, it's always good to hear yours, both of yours. I'm happy to report that the little session I told you about with a couple of friends I'm visiting here in New York has now grown to 4 girlfriends. And we're going to spend Saturday doing reality management worksheets. Uh-oh, I'm not hearing anything at the other end.
Actually, I muted Michael because it was so much noise on his end, but he's back on.
I'm traveling. So one of the things that I would suggest as part of that is that you start out and watch the 24-minute PowerPoint presentation that's on the website. If you go to whyagain.org, there's a bullseye in the middle of the page, and just to the right of it, that would be a great starting point for working with that. That's fabulous.
Yes, it is. It's very good.
I'm excited.
Excuse me?
I say
Oh, I'm sorry. The phone keeps going in and out today, but I think I heard
okay.
You're excited, and heaven knows I am. It feels like a party, but I know it's going to be so much more than that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very sweet. Yeah.
The personal thing I'm dealing with, and I'd appreciate your insight toward, is I have two adult children, reluctant to admit that they're already approaching 50, and we have this cycle of misunderstanding between them. I finally said to them, you know, I'm not the mediator here. I'm not the go-between. You're going to have to deal with this yourselves. But I think my problem is I don't know exactly. I know I feel a sadness and, more than that, almost an ineptitude for saying the right things or pointing out to them, you know, just, I guess, how to make it better or how to resolve it. And I'm not sure what to treat on my, what to address on my worksheets.
Well, when you talk about the thing of being the mediator, I would suggest that you might just do some worksheets on your own adequacy. You know,
okay.
Why can't I keep peace in my family with my children?
Okay.
Am I understanding that there's some sort of a conflict going on between the kids?
Oh yes, yes. Each one of them wants to disown the other.
Okay. And so the other thing you might want to do is look at, you know, imagine that they did disown each other and never spoke again. What would come up for you?
Okay. Yeah. Whoa. That's heavy.
Yeah. Big. So that intense emotion that's right there is an energy that will support them moving in that direction. As you bring that energy up in you and process through it and heal it, then not only will you be freed of it, but you'll open an energy window for them to be freed of it. And that will very likely shift that whole game.
Oh, boy. Even as you talk, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing what the possibilities are more clearly than I could before I called. So I'm eager to work on this for sure. So then,
yeah, that'll be powerful.
You're saying I work on adequacy or inadequacy as the trigger?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, inadequacy.
Well, both.
Oh, okay.
I do worksheets on both.
Okay.
And then I do worksheets around the ultimate outcome. If they were to totally separate and never speak again,
yeah.
I do worksheets around what would come up for me. So
yeah.
I would be the topic of that worksheet. So I'd be number 1A Camille. And, you know, what do I have? Grief, sadness, loss. What kind of a parent am I? What have I done? What am I to blame? You know, whatever, all those issues that could possibly revolve
exactly.
around that. That's what I'd be doing worksheets around.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. well, since we've got a quiet phone line, can I introduce another subject I want to?
Please, please, go for it. That's what we're here for.
I have a son-in-law I love so much who is a very creative individual, and he has recently gone from one startup business that he attempted into designing covert artillery pants and covert equipment for, I don't know, he wants to sell to the FBI and whatever they are, the CIA and all that kind of stuff. And he's very excited about it, and he's getting way out there with investors interested in it. And, of course, my judgment is that this is doing nothing but contributing to fear and defensiveness in the ultimate form, and I want to get rid of this feeling that he's just on the wrong track and doing the wrong thing and not creating a legacy for his family, et cetera, et cetera.
Let me just ask the question. If you could look back at messages you got from your power person,
okay,
did you ever get messages from your power person that you were doing it wrong?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so then I do some work around my power person issues about doing it wrong.
Okay.
That would be a starting point, because that's basically, you're replicating the power person dynamic of you're doing it wrong. And when you can work through that as a power person dynamic, instead of being in the space of you're doing it wrong, you can be in the space of connectedness and love, and maybe be the space in which he can rethink what it is that he's doing and perhaps open the space for something more constructive in the world.
Yeah, well, that's exactly where I go, but I realize that I am definitely holding a space of judgment, and so I can
yes.
see how I need to work on my own issues in that regard.
Well, remember that when you create a perception, literally the brain cells out of which you create that perception set up an energy. Remember, we've talked about Marcel Vogel, high energy wave that leaves the mind when we think a thought. So when I hold a perception out of it, and it sounds like in this case it's fear, might border on some hostility, which might relate to power person dynamics. But literally, as your mind paints that picture on the inside of your eyeballs of what's wrong with him, what's he doing, as you see that picture, you're literally spraying the acid of that hostility or fear on him. And chances are, for the average person, they're going to get locked into whatever it is that you're inviting them to think of differently.
Right.
When you can forgive, remember, forgiveness means remove. When you can remove your hostility and fear and paint a picture on the inside of your eyeballs of him out of love, then you're spraying, literally I'm talking about now, you are spraying the energy of love on him. And chances are there's a big wake-up call for him in it.
Lovely. Oh, lovely.
That's
Mike.
When things start to shift.
Yes. Yes, I know they do. I've done it often enough to have wonderful shifts, really
yes.
wonderful shifts.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Delighted. Now, I had another thought for you. Actually, you were on my list to call because I was kind of tapping into our call last week around the nocturia. And what sort of surfaced was when you were a child, were you sexually abused?
Interestingly, not sexual. I had a neighbor who was an elderly military man who I loved to take walks with him. We lived in Miami in his hydroponic garden in the backyard, and he told me so many things, and I really felt like the man truly loved me. But at the end of every walk, he would we would sit in the car porch that was, you know, shielded from any neighbors and all that kind of thing, and he would pull me back in between his legs, and the only thing I can remember is his rubbing my tummy, and just, you know, I think I was only 5 or 6. And the only recollection I have is that he just, you know, rubbed my belly underneath my shirt, and it felt so good to me. Now, what happened that made me think there was something wrong with that is he would also come over in the afternoon sometimes just to talk to my mother, and I would run into the living room and climb up on the sofa between them, and so he'd start patting me on the rear end and rubbing my back, and I just distinctly remember my mother getting extremely agitated and told me to go out and play, that I shouldn't be there, that she didn't want me, just taking me by the arm and jerking me down off the sofa. And I felt very embarrassed, but those are my only memories of anything that comes close to sexual abuse.
Mm. Okay, well, I would just invite you to maybe do some worksheets around that and see if there's anything else to be surfaced in that regard.
Around that particular, those episodes?
Yeah, yeah, and see what that opens, if anything.
Okay, so then do I use his name or my mother's name in the, I guess I need to do both of them in the trigger thing.
All of the above, yes.
Okay.
And as a child, was the message, did you either make up or receive the message that in that circumstance there was something wrong with you? You know, when she comes in and, you know, hauls you out of there, that you've done something wrong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I do some worksheets on that one too. But in particular, what was surfacing as I was kind of just tuning in and tapping in was, you know, is it possible that there was someone that would come to you at night inappropriately sexually and awaken you? And if so, that might tie in. And so I just, you know, leave that thought and just, you know, ask yourself, ask Rooka the question, and if anything surfaces, do a worksheet or two around it and see what comes up.
I'll do it, Michael. Thank you.
All right.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate your thoughts and the energy you and Jeannie are. You don't like to say you're healing the world, but that's the way I see it.
Well, we're bringing the tools that were made up by a genius mind called Yeshua, and we're certainly honored and blessed to be able to do what we do in the world and to provide the support that we do for people. It's certainly an awesome way to do life.
Indeed it is, and you're doing an awesome job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Blessings.
Bless both of you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Blessings. So we've got about 7 or 8 minutes left. If anyone else has a question, push 1, and that raises your hand in the phone queue. And Jeannie will know you want to talk to us. Beyond that, around the whole idea of healing, to look at, you know, we talked about the symptoms of healing. And when one becomes symptomatic, it is really important to know how to tell whether your symptoms are a disease in process or whether it's healing in process. And so how do you differentiate? How do you tell? Well, there are 4 things in particular that when you're symptomatic, you can tell whether you're in a disease process or a healing process. The first one is that you ask yourself the question, have I been doing more and more of the right things in my life? The right things being physically, mentally, emotionally, relationship, nutritionally. Have I been doing more and more of those things? And if I am, then the tendency is that says that I'm reaching new levels of vitality. And as I reach new levels of vitality, I get to reach into new depths of what it is that I need to heal. And so that's the first question you ask yourself. Have I been doing more and more of the right things, quote unquote? The second question is, did I just hit a new level of vitality just before these symptoms started to occur? Had I hit a new level of vitality and aliveness? And if I did, then having hit that new level of vitality, I have the ability to reach into a new depth of what needs to be healed. So if you were to imagine, let's create for ourselves a vitality meter. It goes from 1 to 10. And you're at a level 5 vitality and you have a level 7 toxin. Your structure has a built-in shutdown mechanism that won't allow you to open that level 7 toxicity. It's just not going to happen. Until you hit higher than a level 7 vitality. So someone who's at a level 5 with a level 7 toxin, if they were to open that level 7 toxin, it could literally be life-threatening because they couldn't handle the energetic detox of it. But once you hit, you know, you do your work and you hit a level 7.5, and many people get confused by this because it's like, gee, you know, here I am, I'm doing all the right things. What's wrong with this picture? I'm all these symptoms going on. What just happened? Like, ah, here's what happened. You hit a new level of vitality. You can reach into a new depth of what you need to deal with. And so that's what empowers you to do that. And each time you hit a new level around the issues in your life, you can clean up new depths of those issues. So oftentimes people will be in the space of, well, you know, gee, I've been working on this issue for 5 years, and here I am right back in the same place. I haven't gotten anywhere. I'm just going to quit because I'm not getting anywhere with this. Well, the truth is you're getting to huge new places, but the mind can't tell the difference between a real and imagined experience. And so when you open to a new level of vitality, you go to a new depth of that same issue that maybe you've been working on for 5 years. And the way to tell that you're making progress is if you think back to when you first ran into that issue, what was your level of upset? You know, and on a scale of 1 to 10, for most people, their level of upset was a 200. And so here I am today, 5 years later, looking at the same issue, and it's like, man, this, you know, this is crazy. Look at this. I'm right back in the same place. It's like, yes. But notice that right now, when, and you compare it now to when you first touched into this issue, notice that your level of upset was a 200 and you were like, you know, a babbling idiot, tears, you know, upset, disturbance, could hardly think a straight thought. But here you are now, maybe 5 years later, and you're dealing with a deeper, more intense level or layer of that healing process, and you can kind of laugh about it and talk about it, and you're relatively sane. So you're healing a deeper level, a more intense level of the same issue, but you're not going berserk. So that's one of the ways that you can tell that you're really moving in the right direction. So that second question is, had I hit a new level of vitality? Great, the next layer of healing comes up. Third question you ask yourself is, what's happening with my elimination? The eliminative organs are designed to remove from the structure those energies that don't belong there. And in a disease process, there's a tendency for there to be a restriction in elimination. And in a healing process, there's a tendency for there to be an increase in elimination. So as you recognize that difference, you get to see that there's work to be done. And
as
what is it that needs to occur?
Also, as people get either in a relationship with someone else or in the support groups that are going on and you're involved with other people, and you may be at a level 5 and they're at a level 5, so when you're together, you're at 10. And so that gives you the strength and the ability to look at anything that you weren't able to look at on your own.
Right, exactly. Yes. So that's the process of healing. And it's not always Dr. Feelgood, but it's powerful when you allow yourself to do it. Very powerful. And so, Jeannie, do we have anybody else with a hand up or anything happening in the... In the chat room, to be aware of. We're down to
we're down
to less than a minute. So.
Yeah.
So we'll just say thank you, everybody, for joining us, and we'll look forward to talking with you tomorrow, bring a stranger to the show with you, and in the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give. Blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.